Welcome to week three of the 30-day dating playbook program. The topic for today is flirting and presentation, and I'm super excited to discuss this with you. You're going to hear some transformational suggestions on how to present yourself, and I'll also share some simple yet extremely effective flirting strategies that can shift your ability to connect with a date out in the real world. I know that it was really important to some of you to not just be focused on online dating, but also to look at ways to attract potential matches in your daily lives. And these tips will work for that. Also, I wanted to give you some flirting and presentation techniques as you're starting to move offline and onto the dates, or you're looking at finding dates through other avenues. So what do you do when you get on those dates? You want them to like you. And you like them, but you're not sure how to present yourself or how to express interest. I hear a lot of times from men that they say, well, I would have asked her out on a date again, but I felt like she wasn't that into me. As you know, I talk to women and they'll say, I thought I was doing everything I could to express my interest. And the same goes for men. But sometimes there's a bit of a disconnect between what we think we're putting out into the world and what's actually being perceived. So I'll talk today about that in this lesson. So let's focus on presentation first, in addition to flirting skills. When I talk about presentation, I'm not saying that you are showing up sloppy with your shirt all wrinkled or you just rolled out of the office, but rather it's about how you set someone up for a date and what they are expecting to see. And this can really impact how well the date goes. So you can have a really amazing profile and great presentation online, but if you show up for the date and your presentation isn't in alignment with what they thought they were getting, then you end up with a disappointed date. One of my favorite quotes from Anne Lamott is, expectations are resentments waiting to happen. So you want to make sure that their expectations are well aligned with what you're going to deliver and who you're going to be when you show up. And I'm sure you've experienced this from the other end of having this idea of a person in your mind. You've talked with them, you've texted with them, you've chatted, and then you show up on the date and you say, oh, I thought they were going to be funnier or cuter or shorter or taller or whatever it is. You only have 7 seconds. Yeah, 7 seconds is what it takes to make an impression, according to recent studies. And that's it. 7 seconds to get their attention, 7 seconds to entice them into a second date. And like it or not, people are going to start creating their idea about you from the moment you walk in the door. But just because they have an impression of who you are, that doesn't necessarily make it true, right? It might feel a little bit unfair, and it might make you feel powerless. But I want to impress on you today that you have the power to shift perceptions and rewrite your story. So today I'm going to show you my secret. It's a really powerful secret weapon. When used correctly, it can help you get noticed over others who aren't doing it. And you know what it is? It's all about personal branding. If you've read the Spin Your Web book, which is included in your materials for this program, you know that the primary concept of that book is that you are branding yourself to be successful with dating online and offline. How do you harness the power of personal branding? It's through understanding and utilizing your essence. I know the word essence sounds somewhat esoteric, but let me just simplify it for you. Your essence is the part of you that enters the room first and that lingers after you've left. That's why I talked before about keeping your first dates short and sweet. And that's what you'll see in the first date starter kit. You want to end the date on a high point, almost as if you're ending it in the middle, because that's the feeling that the person will retain after the date has ended. Think about this. What do you remember from your last few dates? You probably remember the beginning, your first impression of them, and you remember the end. But the details in the middle are probably a little bit fuzzy, save a few moments of surprise and connection. If you draw the date out beyond its ideal ending point, the essence that you're leaving behind with them is exhausted, overwhelmed, or bored. Sometimes it might seem like you're on a roll and you want to keep going, but if your dates are lasting longer than 90 minutes, chances are you're getting into second date territory on the first date and you're giving them too much information. Beyond that initial impression of you and your essence, your date will start to draw additional conclusions that are not helpful to you in the early part of the dating phase. So let's back up and talk about the two major factors of personal branding. One, it's who you inherently are. Two, it's how people will perceive you. I'll share a little story with you about when I became aware of my own personal brand. I was in this theater class in college, and we did an exercise about essence. And in this exercise, the professor would call out a student's name, and we would try to embody that person's essence with our voice and with our body and the way we moved and showed who we were. So first she calls out Robin. And Robin was this really high energy, fun, friendly guy. And everyone in the class puts their hands in the air and jumps around. Robin, Robin, Robin. And imitates Robin. Then the professor called out Mandy. And Mandy was just this sort of easygoing, like chill, everything's cool kind of girl. And so she kind of shuffles along and everyone in the class shuffled along going, Mandy, Mandy, Mandy. And then the professor called out my name, Damona. And everyone in the class crossed their arms in front of them, in front of their chest, balled up their bodies, scrunched up their faces in an imitation of how they perceived me. They kind of turned up their nose and they said, Damona. I was shocked. You know, to me and probably to you, Damona isn't closed off or guarded or insecure. But when everyone in my class imitated their perception of my essence with crossed arms and a discerning face, I had to acknowledge what they were seeing. Their perception didn't feel like the real me. And if you follow the Dates and Mates podcast or you watch me on TV or see my videos on social media, you know that the real me is open and warm and welcoming. They weren't seeing me. They were seeing my insecurity in being in a new place with new people at a time when I was still discovering who I was. But since I didn't want to be perceived as closed off and judgmental, and that's what they were perceiving from me, I had to work very hard to change how I was presented. So what did I do? First, I started wearing brighter colors, and I stopped crossing my arms when I was listening in class. And I made sure to smile, even when nothing else was going on. Instead of having resting bitch face, I had resting happy to be here face. And trust me, it felt weird at first, but eventually things shifted. First impressions die hard. You don't get a second chance to make them. So make that first impression really land. This is not about becoming someone that you're not. This is about being aware of the person that you are, being aware of how others see you from the outside, and aligning those two things so that you present in the world the way you feel on the inside. Now I want to talk about my method for personal branding. It's called the BASIC method. So it's got to be easy, right? BASIC is an acronym for the five major factors in personal branding that convey what you're trying to say. B stands for body language. This is nonverbal communication. A means advocates. This is your wing woman, the person who introduced you on the date, anything like that. S is for sound, the intonation, the pace, the quality of your voice. I is image, your clothing, your hair, your overall look and presentation. And then C is content. What's in your story? What are the words that you're saying? Now, I got to share a little statistic with you. You know, 90% of how people absorb what you're saying on the date is nonverbal. While that content piece is important, I want to emphasize that it's not as crucial as the other components. People always tell me that they're nervous on dates because they don't know what to talk about. And here's the catch. What you're saying on a date doesn't matter as much as how you're saying it. It doesn't matter if you don't know exactly what you're going to say on the date, if you're clear about the impression you want to leave them with. If how you are expressing yourself is in alignment with who you are on the inside, the content in your communication will flow easily and you won't have to work as hard on a date. So this week, I want you to focus in on body language, sound, and image. These are the elements of that basic method that you actually can make a change in and see a big dramatic shift in the way people are perceiving you. We're not going to talk this week as much about advocates because that will change from setting to setting, or the content, as I just mentioned to you. As for image, in this week's materials, you have access to a video on how to dress for a date so that you feel comfortable in your own skin. So this video will give you all of the basics that you need to know on image. In this lesson today, I want to primarily discuss sound and body language as components to flirting. And when people tell me they don't know how to flirt, it's usually because they feel uncomfortable or are out of practice. If you're not practicing, you're going to be uncomfortable. Think of it this way. How many hours do you spend at work? 40 or 60, depending on the job or the week? How many hours do you spend talking to attractive people? If your answer is zero or close to zero, then we have a practicing problem. If you think of anything that you've gotten good at, it probably came through practice, much like playing an instrument. It takes consistent practice to become successful. Flirting and dating are learned skills, not something innate. So take the pressure off yourself if you feel like you're not good at flirting. You can get better at flirting. If you feel awkward at flirting, it's not your fault. It's just that you've practiced other skills and other ways of presenting yourself more. So now it's time to practice presenting yourself as attractive and sexy. We need to find moments where you can practice in your daily life and get you going on dates. Even going on practice dates will help you feel more comfortable in your own skin so that you can learn to turn on some of those flirting charms when you need them. Let me tell you the story of my client Reba, who came to me, and she was approaching 70 years old when we began working together. She was divorced and hadn't had a date in over a decade. We did private flirting sessions with my flirting coach. And even though Reba had been really out of practice, within a few weeks of doing this work, she was going on multiple dates a week. And most of the time, they ended in second date invitations. So I know if this woman who was 70 years old and hadn't dated in 10 or 20 years could turn her life around and learn how to flirt and learn how to date and could have men falling at her feet, I know that you can do it too. My flirting coach actually trains my clients in improv. And a lot of the same principles that we teach in improv workshops apply to flirting and dating. We work on listening and responding, being comfortable in your body, and staying in the moment. So there are three concepts I want to focus on today. My first tip is really to just focus on listening and staying in the moment. And these things are really hard for some people to do. A lot of flirting is just staying present and responding to what is said to you, listening and building off of the conversation. A lot of us get really excited on a date and we just can't wait to speak and we're trying to impress the other person. We're playing ahead in our minds to the moment we introduce them to our friends and family, and we're doing anything other than experiencing the present moment. All the fun, all the chemistry, all the information that you need to know is happening in the present, not in the future. So you will do much better by practicing active listening on that first date. And that will help you stay in the now and feel what you need to feel to know if this is someone that you should see again. Now I want to give you a few tips on body language. Ideally, you want to sit in close proximity to your date. I had a private client who I was talking to last week, and I told her this, and it was a revelation for her. She liked personal space on dates, and she was used to having dates where she sat across the table from a guy. And those kind of dates, it's really hard to build chemistry because you feel like you're on an interview. Think about it like this. When you go into your boss's office, you're sitting across the table from them. That table is a physical barrier between the two of you. And it works great in an office setting, but in a date, it doesn't work quite as well because it doesn't give you the opportunity to be physical with the person when you want to be. And I'll talk in a moment about using the power of touch. But it doesn't allow you to really feel the chemistry because it feels like you're just sending questions back and forth across the table. Sitting in a different proximity to them means that you can be more casual and it can be much more flexible in the conversation flow. So if you sit catty corner next to your date, that will allow you more opportunities to make questions and flirt with them. And if this is something you're not doing already, this will be a big game changer for you. Now, of course, if you walk in and your date doesn't look the way you expect them to, or you're not sure you want this date to go somewhere further, then you can actually use this as a tactic and sit in the interview style position versus catty corner positioning, conversation style. So you can choose what result you want based on where you position yourself. Huh? Pretty cool technique. Now I want to discuss the power of touch. Specifically, the way a woman touches a man can have a very meaningful impact. If you think about it, men don't get touched very often. They're not conditioned to touch one another. They go into a business meeting and they shake hands. But women, we see our girlfriends and we give them a hug or a kiss on the cheek. It's different. It's a different experience between men and women. So when a woman touches a man, even in a casual setting, that is super powerful. And it should be used sparingly because this is a very powerful weapon. But if you want to express interest in him, you can touch him casually to let him know that you like what he's saying. Like if he says something funny and you just very lightly touch him on the hand as you say, "Oh, you're hilarious," and you laugh, that's going to have a very different tone than if you're sitting across the room interview style and you say, "You're hilarious." Without the touch or the close proximity, depending on the intonation, it could read as condescending or inauthentic. But if you partner it with a touch, he will know that it is expressing interest and that you find him funny or interesting, or you're accepting of him taking things a step further, which in the first or second date is probably just saying, "I'm interested in going out with you again." Okay, let's not go too fast with the touch, but you should know that there are certain zones where you, if you touch him there, it conveys a different intention. So if you touch him on the knee, you better look out because you've just sent him a signal of something more serious. Touching him on the hand, on the shoulder, or on the back, these are more casual touches that can express an interest if you're trying to build up that connection. But if you touch anywhere like the hips or anywhere hips down, that's something of a more sexual touch. For men, the rules are generally different. Guys, I encourage you to wait for a lady to break the touch barrier first or to ask for consent before touching. There is this misconception that asking for consent can't be done in a sexy way. On my first date with the man who's now my husband, he asked if he could hold my hand during the date, and this was the sexiest thing in the world. But it's not appropriate in today's world for a man to initiate aggressive physical touch. It's going to backfire on you more than it's going to help you. So I encourage you to ask for consent in a sexy way and to empower the woman to make the choice of whether or not she wants to break that physical touch barrier. You also want to make sure that you're making good eye contact. Many times we're uncomfortable on the date. So what do? We look down at our phone. We look around. We see who else is there. And this is another reason why sitting conversation style is actually really helpful, because it can be intimidating if you're making eye contact, but you're sitting interview style. It can feel like you're staring each other down. But if you're sitting conversation style, you can glance over at your date while they're talking. And then it's not awkward for those moments. When you do look away, it'll give you something else to look at. Plus, you can be drawing stimulus from the things that are happening out in the world, be it something funny going on with the waitress or other patrons, or any other kind of outside stimulus that you can comment on and give you additional topics for the date. That really takes the pressure off of trying to generate connection points. But that eye contact is really important. We've discussed touch, eye contact, and now for the third element of flirtation, smiling. Remember in my story earlier, I said that I was really making an effort to smile even when nothing was happening, because you want to be approachable. This is especially helpful if you're trying to meet someone out at a bar or at a mixer. We've talked a lot about the venues. We did that last week, the venues where you can meet people. If you look like you're having a good time, you are more approachable. And it might feel weird to smile when nothing's happening, but you could be smiling at anything. It's something funny that you heard the other day, something you see, something you're just thinking about. But it makes you so much more approachable and open if you focus on smiling. And I guarantee you, if you're not thinking about smiling, you're probably looking like I was in that class way back then and sitting with resting bitch face. Because if you're not thinking about it, your muscles will automatically relax. And then you don't look like you're having a good time, and you don't look like someone who another person would want to come up to and start a conversation with. You want to convey that you're warm, approachable, friendly, and that someone could have a good time talking to you. So this is a great exercise just to begin to get comfortable and practice these flirting skills and practice your conversation skills, not with a person necessarily that you're interested in. No one has ever judged someone poorly for sitting by themselves and smiling, but you will be judged for looking like you're not having a good time. And if you just retreat into your phone, then you'll miss out on opportunities. This week, I want you to start looking at beginning conversations. Everywhere you're going, I want you to really focus on making connections with strangers. So instead of just thinking of the grocery checker as this person who is a cog in a wheel, like, I have groceries, they're checking me out, I give them money, and I leave. Really think about, how can I start a conversation with the grocery checker? Look at something that you're buying and ask them a question, like, have they ever tried that? Or ask them about the music playing in the store, or ask them something about their day. Begin a conversation, and then you'll find that when you open up to conversations, there are many people out there who want to connect. We're all so stuck in our own world. It's harder for a lot of us to do that, I know. And when someone opens up, we say, yes, I was looking for some human connection. Begin the conversation with your Uber driver, or with your bus driver, someone on the subway, someone who you normally don't talk to at work. Focus this week on just beginning conversations. And then, when you're really comfortable with that, you can create openings and begin conversations with people that you find attractive, not necessarily with the intention of asking them out. And for women, I don't want you to go into the position of the pursuer, but I want you to create an opening and let him know that you are a friendly person, you're warm, and you're open to a conversation, and then it's up to him to lead the conversation from there. One more principle I'd like to share with you on body language is about body angles. So you may have heard this before, but you probably have not. I know this because I study all of this data and I look at human behaviors and I work with psychologists and sociologists, so I know patterns in human behavior. And one thing that women do, even without realizing it, if they're attracted to a man, they will turn their hips towards him. Crazy, right? And watch for it. If you go to a bar or a restaurant and you see people on a date or someone trying to pick up a date, sometimes one man might be trying to get the interest of a woman, but she'll have her eyes on another guy. And you can tell. You can tell because she will have her hips turned towards the guy that she's attracted to. You can read very clearly when you know the signs. So I want you first to study how it's happening with other people, then take that information to know how you can actually convey interest on a subliminal level or on a subconscious level. Women, you can actually turn your hips intentionally towards someone. Even if they don't necessarily know that you're doing this, it can still trigger what they are conditioned to see as a woman showing interest with their behavior. It's a primal reaction. Now I want to talk to you about sound. I actually majored in speech in college, and recently I was talking with a speech therapist about how we use our voices differently in different settings. A lot of times when we go on a date, we think we have to be high energy to make an impression. We have to be memorable. And what we tend to do is to project our voice and to be as loud as we can in our date's face to make sure that they remember us, right? And you can probably tell by the tone of my voice that I've gotten kind of excited and my voice has changed. But it feels a little bit bombastic, right? And you probably had to back up off your headphones because it's a little bit too much, right? On a date, I'd like for you to think of drawing your date in instead of pushing them away, using what the speech therapist calls a confidential voice. Think like you're telling them a secret when you're talking. Now, I'm not saying that you should go to a loud bar and then talk so quietly that he or she can't hear you, but this is another reason why sitting conversation style, like we talked about before, is helpful, because then you don't have to shout across the bar for him or her to hear you. You can be physically close and draw your date in through your vocal tone. So how do we do this? First, I want you to think of placing your voice forward in the mask of your face where it will resonate, not deep down in your throat where we tend to swallow our inner voice when we're nervous and we don't quite know what we're saying. Now again, I'm just giving you some tips and tricks and tools. This is not meant for you to put on a falsetto of somebody else's voice. This is just something for you to be aware of on your next date and maybe to try out as an additional tool. So I want you to think about intentionally finding that intimate placement of your voice when you're looking to draw someone in. And while you're working in that confidential voice, I also want you to think of pausing, creating bold, beautiful pauses in your speech that allow the other person to step forward and fill the space. Being attractive doesn't mean tap dancing and touting all of the great things about yourself. If the other person feels that they're being heard, there's nothing sexier than that. Now, the majority of flirting is about being comfortable in your own skin and knowing that you're projecting the qualities that you want to have seen. So this week's videos and exercises will show you just how to do that. I'm excited to see how these vocal exercises change things for you. And I wanted to give you something that I know you're not hearing anywhere else with any other dating coach. There are many coaches out there who can teach you different flirting skills and different ways to begin conversations. But as someone who did get my Bachelor of Science degree in speech, I wanted to share some additional insights with you. Deeper level techniques of what's happening on a subconscious level and how you can convey interest can be really magnetic to the kind of people that you're trying to attract. And I know a lot of you are at this point where you're going on second and third dates, and that's really exciting. So I want you to continue to absorb this content that I'm delivering and put it into practice so you can move forward from the first date to the second, to the third, and so on, while also being in integrity with who you are and what your long-term goals are and your values and the things that we worked on in week one. And if you're not at the point yet where you're going on multiple dates, that's totally okay. Everything that we're talking about is still building up that platform. In this program, you're also working on your own timeline, on your own schedule. So find just one thing to focus on this week. Maybe it's the power of touch. Maybe it's smiling. Maybe it's generating conversations. Perhaps it's in matching what you're putting out into the world with how you feel on the inside. Or maybe it's speaking in a confidential voice. Just pick one, maybe two things that you're focusing on this week and see how that creates shifts in your life. I am so looking forward to next week's session on follow through and communication. That element is key for all of you. That's where a lot of you are at in this process. Whether you're just setting up the dates or you're in communication with someone that you already really like, and you want to make sure that things continue to move forward, don't miss next week. This could be the game-changing element that you need, and we're almost at the end of the 30-day program, so please stick with it. Thanks for listening to this week's lesson. Until next time, happy dating.